Welcome to the Film Florida podcast. I'm John Lux, and I'm the executive director of Film Florida. Before we get to our interview, if you're not already a member of Film Florida, please consider joining at filmflorida.org. Please also consider going to our website and donating $20.24 for our 2024 fundraising campaign. Visit the Film Florida merchandise page at filmflorida.creator-spring.com to purchase Film Florida t-shirts, sweatshirts, coffee mugs, and more. All merchandise proceeds go to the Film Florida Filmmaker Grant and Scholarship Fund. Terry Olson is the co-founder, creative director, and chief instigator of Fusion Fest in Central Florida. Previously, Terry was the director of arts and cultural affairs for the Orange County government. His purpose is to help create dynamic events which celebrate, unite, enliven, and empower people, with the primary conduit being the arts. We talked to Terry about his background, his time with the county, Fusion Fest, his passion for the arts, the evolution of the arts and culture scene in Central Florida, and more on this episode of the Film Florida podcast. Here's my conversation with Terry Olson from Fusion Fest. Welcome to the Film Florida podcast, Terry.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's start with your backstory. Where'd you come from?
Well, I came from the backwoods, actually born in rural Minnesota and grew up in Alaska. So it's actually true. My grandparents were in the North Woods of Minnesota, but came here in 1982 for the opening of Epcot Center. Brought SAC Theater here. I had gone back to Minnesota to go to college, graduate school, started SAC Theater and some other organizations, and we moved SAC here for the opening of Epcot, and we're still here.
So obviously you've worked in the arts and culture space for many years. What inspired you to the cause?
Well, as a kid, I guess I probably always liked to show off. So I was doing shows in the living room for visitors or whatever. Coming out of high school, I was a good student. My parents are both educators, so I figured I'd be a teacher. I had a high school counselor who said, oh, you can do better than that, which didn't really please my parents. But when I went to college, I tried out for a play that was going to be touring in Europe during January. Also tried out for a choir that was going to be doing the same thing and got into both. I had to choose between them, and the theater program was more flexible. So I chose that and ended up majoring that, and loved being at the front lines of culture. So that's been my career.
And now you've been involved with Fusion Fest in Central Florida for a very long time. The Fusion Fest mission statement states a commitment to celebrate the people and the many different cultures that make Central Florida awesome by showcasing talent, sharing stories, driving innovation, and building community based on respect and understanding. So talk about how that initiative came to be and how you have seen that mission statement kind of go along as the community builds at your events.
By the way, you read that very well. Nice timing and emphasis. I like it. So for the last couple of decades, I have worked for Orange County government. I was hired to create the Office of Arts and Cultural Affairs. And that word cultural affairs is not clear to many people. So I would get invited to help the folks from the Caribbean community come together and create the Caribbean Cultural Council. And I'd be invited to the African Leaders Council meetings. And so when then Mayor Jacobs was interested in exploring how the county might support diversity, I got together with those leaders of those organizations and others, and we did some brainstorming. It was around the time that the county had put a lot of money into the Dr. Phillips Center. And so if we wanted to use that lawn in front of the Dr. Phillips Center, we could do that for a day. And we thought, yeah, let's do something. That'd be great. And I came back and I said, but we're going to need some money. Two people putting on a big event is not just going to happen. Nothing happened then for about a year until, again, the Caribbean and African folks came to me and said, hey, can't we do something? We talked about doing something. And so my boss at the time said, well, go ahead and gather people and kind of maybe develop a grassroots movement to do something. So we did. I got about 60 people together from about 40 different heritages and said, what's the best way to share your culture? And listed a bunch of things and voted, and festival and parade came out at the top. And then we said, if we're going to bring together everybody, when's an iconic time to do that? And when I say bring together everyone, that year I explored all the ethnic and heritage festivals in Central Florida and went to 63 of them.
Wow.
So there are a lot, Japan Fest, Serbia Fest, Puerto Rican Days, et cetera. So we listed some things and we voted on Thanksgiving weekend as a great time to bring everyone together. There weren't any other festivals scheduled that weekend. In fact, there's not a lot of things scheduled that weekend, but it is a good entertainment weekend, like theme parks and movies do really well. Not the kind of things where I have to dress up to go to an 8 o'clock concert. Those don't really do well on that, but like a free festival, hey, let's go on downtown and grab a free festival. We thought that would do well. The weather is great. It fits thematically. What is Thanksgiving about? It's about immigrants, different cultures coming together. And so we chose that weekend. And then we started a steering committee that started meeting monthly. And each month we would delve into some fact. And then we said, we need to get even more opinions. And so that was in 2016. We started at the end of 2016. And 2017, we started every other month gathering of nations. We invite 2 to 6 people from each heritage we knew about to come together to look at a particular aspect. The first one was food. Everyone bring some food. Of course, that was a big hit. And we decided, hey, we'll start all our meetings that way. A big international potluck buffet is a good way to get things going. I mean, we all have food we all celebrate about. But then we looked at clothing and games and music and dance and visual arts and holidays and stories and just kind of exploring all the aspects of culture, as well as organizationally, like, you know, what do we call this gathering and how do we shape it and that kind of thing. And eventually in 2018, went back to the county administration and said, yeah, we got something we should do. We should do this. We do need some money. And so the county came up with funds to be a seed. So that first festival was in Thanksgiving of 2018. And it has grown from there. It was great. People felt like, I feel like I'm actually seen and part of the community, you know, folks from smaller minority communities. So that was great for 2 days a year. But then we thought, you know, maybe it needs more than 2 days a year. So we began developing other programming, and the pandemic hit. And so we started developing some online and virtual kind of programming. So end up having weekly and monthly and more annual things besides the big signature festival and Thanksgiving. All the while, that's just part of my work with Orange County Arts and Cultural Affairs, which is also growing and really exponentially in the last year or two with increased funding from the tourist development tax, even general funds for developing. Currently, there's an ongoing 18-month program with a consultant to develop a countywide strategic plan for the arts. So anyway, life got very busy and there was a lot of things, and I really felt that Fusion Fest needed it most. So I retired from the government, and right now I'm full-time volunteer leader of Fusion Fest. So there you go, a long story, but that kind of tells you how it happened.
And you have a couple of formal titles with Fusion Fest, but your kind of informal one that I think everybody kind of gets attracted to is chief instigator. So what are the main goals of a chief instigator at Fusion Fest?
Well, I used that even before Fusion Fest at the county, chief arts instigator. And yes, it wasn't in the official org chart as a title, but I would use it because one of the things that I could do is convene, is bring people together to get things going. When I was hired by the county, the job could like take 2 weeks and then what? So basically everything that happened in the expansions were because we looked and said, hey, there's a need, let's do it. And we moved ahead. So getting things going, bringing people together, I mean, that's instigating, right? So it seemed like a fun word. It definitely catches people's attention if they don't misread it and say investigator or something else that's that could apply as well. But so, yeah, I like to be a catalyst. And I think if Chief Instigator fits.
Now, you mentioned the two-day festival, the main Fusion Fest, as well as some of the individual stuff. So I want to get into a little bit of detail there. As you mentioned, you bring a lot of different cultures together through a variety of events in Orange County, which feature different formats of art. Give a little bit of an overview of some of these individual events for some that, you know, may not be specifically aware.
Certainly. Well, one of the things that was one of the first extra annual events that we created was our migration film contest.
Right.
MYGRATION. So as I mentioned in these gathering of nations, one element we explored was story. What are people's stories and how do we capture those stories? How do we get to hear them? And certainly film is a great way to do that. So working with Lori Turchin, who was with the Global Peace Film Festival at the time, and she teaches at Full Sail, we developed our migration film contest. I'll give you the whole history. So the first year we just said, hey, we're doing this contest for short films about people. Go ahead and find somebody. We'll help you find somebody if you want and turn it in. And we got some films and some of them were relevant and others were like a student project that, oh, I'll just submit that. So second year we codified that. The second year was we started this random pairing. So we did a pairing party. If we had 20 filmmakers, we make sure we have 20 people with different heritages. And on a Friday night, we brought them together and they choose a number, however, they're paired. So that first year, they had 52 hours to make their 5-minute film. We've since then moved it to 5 days. Most of the filming happens on that Saturday. On Friday, the filmmaker and the subject talk and decide when and where they'll meet, you know, probably at the subject's home or maybe at a restaurant of that heritage or some other place that's relevant to their life. They do most of the filming on Saturday. And then they have like a couple of days to really edit it and make it a good film to turn in. So that one, the annual migration film contest was one of the first kind of things. So those, the pairing happens in late August. And since we started this with the Global Peace Film Festival, we premiere it at the Global Peace Film Festival. So this year, the premiere was on September 22nd at the Global Peace Film Festival. And then we also do screening of our own where we do the award several thousands of dollars to filmmakers a week after the premiere.
Which I'm very familiar with the migration film competition, and I think it's great. You know, being from Central Florida myself here for the last 25 plus years, it is pretty cool hearing some of those stories. We talked about the big Fusion Fest Thanksgiving weekend. If somebody goes to Fusion Fest, what are they going to see?
Well, they can see those films, which will happen on the big screen, basically between acts. And speaking of the stage, so there's music and dance. There are shows we put together, a fusion show called Kaleidoscope, a closing show, which in 2024, I believe, is going to be holidays around the world and candlelights and opening ceremonies on Saturday. That includes a citizenship ceremony where a couple dozen immigrants pledge their allegiance to support the United States against enemies, domestic and foreign. And then on Sunday, it starts with a celebration of multicultural faith. So that's main stage performances. Around that, there's food, good food. And all vendors have small portions. So instead of getting a rack of ribs for your meal, you can get a rib and then go get an egg roll and then get a Chinese dumpling or a pierogi or whatever to taste your way around the world. There's also our international marketplace. So Thanksgiving is just at the season where people are getting gifts for things. So why not get a unique gift that also supports some local artisan? Then there are like 21 elements. So there's the Kids Village, which we work with the Young Architects Forum to build buildings representing heritages around the world, cultures, out of refrigerator boxes and oven boxes. And so kids can crawl around in the Taj Mahal and in an African hut or whatever. There's arts and crafts. Every half hour or so, kids that sign up can learn to do some origami or make a Vietnamese hat or a grass doll or some activity like that. There's fun and games tent. So there's different kind of games from around the world. You can sit down and play or on your feet play. There is cultural displays. So various communities come together and make a display. This represents Brazil to me. Artifacts, information, that kind of thing. There is the global exchange, which are short talks like Pachacha or TED Talks about items relevant to culture and our humanity and the global world. There is one aspect, our Find a Friend flowers. So there are some people that will hand people a flower and say, hey, maybe you want to give this to somebody you've never met before and make a new friend. You get it for free, pass it on. And that has led to some ongoing relationships. And like, what? Who are you? You're giving me something, a flower? How fun. There's a visual arts gallery. So our visual artists are having a contest to, again, win $1,000. On the stage also, we have a poetry slam and a haiku contest and storytelling. So there's the word aspect of it, including some poetry in foreign languages with translation. Fashion. So heritage fashion, when people come in their clothing of their heritage, it's an amazing panoply of colors and styles and cloth. And so a fashion show for that. We have what we call our country meetup and photo op. Up near our entrance, we have bleachers. So at 1:15, it might be South Africa time. And anyone from South Africa can come and gather. They might not have known there were other South Africans here. And we have a photographer there taking a photo. We'll have their flag there. Speaking of flags, we've got hundreds of flags of every country, every state, many affinity groups. If you want to have a Cub Scouts gathering, we've got the Cub Scout flag.
Now, Terry, looking back on your time with the Orange County government, talk about an initiative or something that you are specifically proud of that you started when you were with the office, besides Fusion Fest, of course.
The office was formed after a task force was commissioned to look into what do we have in the arts, how is it funded, how does it affect quality of life. Three main recommendations that were accepted were to create an Office of Arts and Cultural Affairs, to set aside 3% of the first 4 cents of what's now a 6 cent tourist development tax, and to create an advisory council about how the county supports the arts. The report also talked about public art installations. And I would say in the visual arts realm, there are a number of things that we initiated. First of all, the chambers where the Board of County Commissioners met was what I would describe as a beige prison-esque box.
Yep.
Beige, 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 all beige, beige. And so we started the Art in the Chambers program, where we received art on loan from major, basically museums or other collections, both private or prominent collections, or put together shows of artists who have lived or worked in Orange County and have some national reputation. So now there's art in the chambers. And it was fun because the mayor said, it really lowers the temperature of the room. You know, we get heated here. We got discussion going on, but look out and see so art on the wall. It brings us back to a little more calm state. So that was good. Then we also looked at public art programs. So around the country, there's 500 public art programs, basically governments, mostly cities or counties or states or federal, that have a percentage of construction used for art. The federal government, I believe, is 1%. The state is 0.5%. The city of Orlando is 1%. And Orange County had nothing. The regulation at the time was there shall be an appropriate amount of art spent. And so I asked, oh, well, what have the line budgets been for that? I'm like, there weren't any. So we developed a public art review board and developed plans and a structure and procedure for how to operate as the county built new buildings that were open to the public and or did major renovations and began that program. So when you go to the convention center, there is a big hanging sculpture that was the largest one we've ever done. It's like 25 feet by 20 feet by 18 feet. And it makes that big hall, not just a big hall, but an interesting hall. If you go to the new community center in East Orange, out by Christmas, there's beautiful murals of birds that you'll find in the wetlands that are right behind that. So things like that have really enhanced the facilities that Orange County has made. And Orange County has great facilities. Some of our difficulties have been, this is a great building architecturally. They weren't all just beige prison-esque boxes. The county has built some good buildings. So I would say in the visual art realm, we've done and developed a lot of programs.
Yeah. But besides money and being able to put art places, what do you attribute Central Florida's unique kind of art scene to? I mean, where did it come from? What's the origin?
Well, people have wondered what the identity of Central Florida is. And that is because we're a complex kaleidoscope, I'll use that word again, of people from all over the place. And we're fairly new. Mm-hmm. You know, this summer I went to Europe and was seeing buildings and structures built in the 1300s or the 1500s and standing where my great-great-great-grandparents stood, and there's a lot of history. And so German culture is easy to understand. I mean, it looks German, right? It sounds German, it tastes German, it smells German. What is Orlando? And it is definitely a lot of things. It's a variety, but it is a world-class variety. So we have world-class tourism. We have world-class technology, the Florida orange juice, agriculture. So we're not a backwater. We have 75 million people visiting us every year. We are a crossroads of the world. And crossroads of the world are the places where culture springs up, that became cultural capitals. And that is partly because of the different influences and when different thoughts and ways of thinking come together, new and innovative things happen. So it's natural that we become a world cultural capital and that our arts are dynamic and expressive. It's the funding part that makes them fragile as well. Mm-hmm. Because of this newness. So we're dynamic because we are new, and why not? The Young Composers Forum gets the best teenage composers in the country, why not put a saxophone with a cello and make a different sounds than the classical? They have a different oral library. So to answer your question, we're a place where lots is germinating, and the arts are a natural extension of that, because the arts for millennium have been the expression of humanity in the ways, one of the ways that we talk to each other.
Terry, you talked a little bit about the Migration Film Project, but generally speaking, how can the film and television industry assist and nurture the art scene here in Central Florida?
Good question. Certainly, when a location is integral to the plot of a movie or a television series, it helps brand that location and develop the desire for people to go there, to see it, to experience it, to live there, whatever. So certainly that, I think, is one way to incorporate location. The second is story. I mean, we've got interesting people here. We've got Olympians. We've got innovators in many areas. And so those people are good subject matter for stories.
Yeah. Now, Terry, as we wrap up here, I want to make sure people, you know when and where Fusion Fest is. So remind us again when it is and where and how people can find more information about it.
Well, Fusion Fest, the multicultural festival, has always been. Who knows what the future will always hold, but Thanksgiving weekend, the Saturday and Sunday after Thanksgiving Day, and all these years, it has been in front of the Dr. Film Center for the Performing Arts. Eventually, we're going to outgrow that space, and we are looking all over for what is the appropriate place. But right now, bringing together all these smaller communities to be seen in front of that iconic structure of the Dr. Film Center for the Performing Arts is part of the process of letting everyone know that we are all for each other, that we value you. We value the many cultural influences that you bring to this community.
And is there a website people can learn more?
Definitely fusionfest.org. Quite simple. What's not so simple is keeping up with everything that's happening and making sure that that website is up to date. And again, we didn't get to mention, and I would love to mention more of the monthly activities. Each month we do a diversitastic dining experience of a particular culture. So if you want to come with us and experience Uzbeki food or Colombian food or Virgin Island food and culture, you get a ticket from us, and your ticket gets you a full meal, a program, maybe musicians, dancers, artists, stories of life in that culture, usually a trivia game. We win tickets to the next one. So diversitastic dining. Also, our Triple O interactive art experience. So this is a visual art party with wine and cheese, etc. But a couple of pieces of art are featured, and some crazy haired MC engages the audience in talking about the piece of art and pushing them to think about what might have been in the mind of the artist. But from all that conversation, then we have a contestant who forms an official statement of what they feel this art is about, what it is expressing. That statement then is judged by three judges who judge one of three O answers. They say it is either that statement is on track, off track, or off planet. And should they get to proceed, finally, we have the artist who will give the final decision about if that statement is on track or off track, and then the contestant can win prizes. So it's a good, fun, interactive evening that happens the first Thursday of each month, except for, of course, November, December, when we're doing our festival and that kind of thing.
Well, and the other thing, you guys are pretty active on social media. So if you go to the Fusion Fest website, you can find the social media pages, which I encourage people to check out as well, because that's, you mentioned the challenges with keeping the website updated sometimes. Sometimes social media is a better way to get that information out there on an ongoing basis. So I can appreciate that very much. So Terry, thanks so much for spending time with us today to talk about your passion. As a Central Florida resident, I want to thank you for everything you have done in Central Florida. I greatly appreciate that. And thanks for being on the Film Florida podcast.
My pleasure. Keep making great films. Keep pushing people.
Thanks for listening to the Film Florida podcast. For more information about Film Florida, go to filmflorida.org and like or follow our social media pages. If you're not already a member of Film Florida, please consider joining at filmflorida.org. Please also consider going to our website and donating $20.24 for our 2024 fundraising campaign. Check out the Film Florida merchandise at filmflorida.creator-spring.com. And please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.